Bagram Air Force Base, Afghanistan. Good morning on the West Coast. Good morning on the East Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. No Dr. Troy Hall today. It is a federal holiday, so the folks at South Carolina Federal Credit Union have the day off. We didn't want to wake up Dr. Troy too early anyway, because if you've seen him, you know he needs his beauty rest more than most. Welcome to the show, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you in part by XDI, X-Ray Delta India.com, Express Data Incorporated, affordable, efficient, and most of all, accurate statement solutions for credit unions all across this great country of ours. So glad to have you with us on an early morning edition of The Power of Performance. Luckily for our friends up in Madison, Wisconsin, and Alexandria, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., I don't have time today to gloat about my spot-on prediction about the presidential election when I said the president-elect would get over 300 electoral votes. As soon as they call Michigan, I will be right again. But thankfully, we don't have to talk about that, because more importantly, the free and fair election we all just witnessed is made possible by the tremendous men and women who serve in our American military. And the military chaplain has an amazing, legendary role in American military history. Although technically considered a non-combatant, chaplains serve downrange in some of the most dangerous hotspots around the world. Today's guest is no exception. Today we are so excited. We're going to be speaking to, after the break, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Lucinda Valenti. Just an amazing career. She serves as the IMA, I think that means Interfaith Ministerial Assistant, to the Wing Chaplain for Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. Chaplain Valenti received her Master's of Divinity in 1992 and received a direct commission into the Air Force Reserves in 1999. During her time in the United States Air Force Reserve, she has served at the 349th Air Wing at Travis Air Force Base, and currently, she's serving up at Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene. She's been deployed twice, 2005 to Kuwait and 2010 to Bagram, as the Chief Hospital Chaplain. Chaplain Valenti has been a hospital hospice chaplain for over 20 years and served as a chaplain with the Texas Interfaith Disaster Relief. Quite a resume, an amazing. They don't just hand out Lieutenant Colonel commissions, by the way. You have to earn them. You hear that, millennials? You can't just say, I want to be a Lieutenant Colonel. You have to earn it. Our guest did it. Her name is Colonel Valenti, and we're going to join her right after this.
Snickers, come on. Snickers, come on.
Hey, Colonel Valenti, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It is so good to have you on the show. Yep. Now I hear you talking to somebody. That sounds like it must be your dog.
It is, sorry. He escaped, but he'll come back. So
it's all right. We know you can find him. I got to tell you, folks, I asked Colonel Valenti to call in 5 minutes before the show started. And as her call came up on the board, the Australian lady said, 5 minutes until showtime. That amazing Air Force efficiency on display, even in the pre-show. Hey, tell us about, let's go back to the, like they said in The Princess Bride, let's go back to the beginning and tell us, when did you join the United States Air Force Reserve? Tell us about that.
1998, my oldest was a year old, and I was in Northern California.
Awesome. So that's how you ended up at Travis Air Force Base.
Yes.
Now, when you joined, you already had a great deal of education in ministerial and in divinity. Is that correct?
I did. I had a master's of divinity. I had a 2-year residency from Baylor Medical Center. And yeah, so I had lots.
Awesome. Now, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-show, and you heard me talk about it in your bio. The military chaplain is technically considered a non-combatant. In fact, I noticed in your biography, it says chaplain first and then your rank. However, we have chaplains in the military for a reason, because when things get really, really tough, it's nice to have the chaplain around. And so even though you might be a non-combatant, you yourself have been downrange at some of the hot spots in our more current conflicts. Tell us about some of them.
Well, the first time I flew in and out of Kuwait into Iraq and Afghanistan. I flew in with some crews, picked up people and supplies. And then the second time I was at the hospital at Bagram Air Force Base, which was the level one hospital that we brought guys and gals out and took care of them and sent them home to get better care.
Right. For people in my generation, Generation X and the baby boomers, the first chaplain I think anybody gets to know is Father Mulcahy on MASH. You know, I always thought he was one of my favorite characters. Yes. Yeah. And so I know that working, you know, there's nothing ever really good that comes out of a war, but some of the advancements in medical science and triage and treatment during OIF-1, OIF-2, and of course the war in Afghanistan have been pretty phenomenal, and they have to be because the battlefield is a very, very dangerous place. So I wanted to ask you about what it was like working in a hospital where undoubtedly you had to minister to service members of all different branches, I'm sure, who had their lives changed probably forever based upon the type of battlefield injuries we see in the modern battlefield.
Well, first of all, if they got to my hospital and were still alive, we had a 99% success rate of getting them home alive and fairly well. So, I mean, the team I worked with was so incredible. Just the top caliber doctors and nurses and med techs that you can find anywhere. It was just incredible. And so ministry was, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was very meaningful. So
For folks that don't know, when you're in the military as a chaplain, you may be a priest or you may come out of the Presbyterian or the Lutheran faith, but when you're in the military, you're often tasked with providing comfort and biblical guidance to people of many different religions. Was that the case with you?
Oh, yes, and I have funny stories, and I can tell stories all day, but the reason, the official reason I really get paid is to make sure people's First Amendment rights are met, and so I can do that in all kinds of ways. I would have lots of Christians, but different flavors of Christians, and so we would have different worship experiences, and then we would have different Bible studies, and we would have different prayers, and then I would also have Muslim patients, and we would make sure they got well taken care of, and if we couldn't get an imam in, we would make sure that they had the supplies and the prayer rugs that they needed. I had Jewish patients, and one of my favorite stories is we brought a rabbi in, Rabbi Berduco. We actually brought him in for the High Holy Days to Bagram, and in the middle of the night, he was helping us load patients, and somebody came up to me and says, "Hey, I need to see a rabbi. Do we have one on post?" And I'm like, "Yeah, there he is up on the lift." They're like, "Oh." And so it was amazing, and you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, He was from New York, and he had a big booming voice, and 2 o'clock in the morning people were walking by our office going, "What is going on in there?" Because we were laughing so hard, and it was just amazing. So
people that have not been downrange and have not been deployed in the military, and I served in the first Gulf War back in 1991 with the U.S. Army, and we had a great chaplain, one of my favorite memories. We were so fortunate. We got into Riyadh on one night. And the very next night, the war started. And so we weren't sitting around. But on the first night, you know, the chaplain, now big announcement, "Hey, we just got here. We're going to have a little prayer service down in the basement." They had etched out a little area for him to do, have like a chapel. And I mean, maybe four people showed up. I know because I was down there making a phone call and or trying to make a phone call. And the next night, the war started. Colonel Valencia, you should have seen the next chapel service. My goodness, it was standing room only. People were out in the hallway craning their heads in to hear. And but I'm sure you know when you're downrange and you have that element of uncertainty hanging over your head all the time. I think that's why the American military chaplain has such a tremendous reputation, because you have to be there when things go bad, don't you?
Bad and good. And yes. And it's amazing because they would, my guys would come off the airplane on stretchers. And a lot of times the second person after the nurse, they would see me. And if they didn't freak out by seeing the chaplain, they loved it.
So they had to make sure you weren't there administering anything in the last rites department. I get that. We're visiting with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Lucinda C. Valente. I've posted her picture and her biography on the episode page. If you wanna take a look, I got to make sure your dog's name is Knicker.
Knickers.
Okay, Knickers. Okay, I couldn't tell. I figured you weren't talking to your to one of your kids like that, so I had to assume it was one of your pets. Although the way people treat pets these days, like kids, you never really know. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Chaplain Valente right after this. Is right. Happy Veterans Day to all of you veterans, past and present. One of my favorite days of the year. I don't celebrate my birthday, so I love Veterans Day. We're visiting with Chaplain Valente. Back in 1991, you may or may not remember this, but right toward the end of the Gulf War, these Scud missiles that Iraq was firing into Saudi Arabia almost never hit anything. But towards the end of the war, it hit a building that was housing a bunch of Pennsylvania National Guard soldiers. Yeah, very, very unfortunate situation. A lot of people got hurt. A lot of people died. And of course, with that type of thing, they needed some people up there that had advanced medical training, especially when it came to burns and stuff like that. And so I was tasked to escort these guys up to Duran. And, you know, a Humvee only holds about four people, barely. And one of the chaplains volunteered to go. And it just seems like, you know, kind of like on the battlefield, they say God loves medics, but I think God loves chaplains too, because there just doesn't ever seem to be any quit in the American military chaplain. Tell us why.
Because we have a calling, and we feel impelled to serve not only God, but to serve our fellow mankind and to love people. And we want to be where we're needed, and where people need the comfort and need to help finding meaning and value to what is going on.
That's awesome.
It's a compelling kind of thing.
Well, it's a great reputation that you guys have earned. When I first joined the military, I was in the 4th Battalion, 21st Infantry at Fort Ord, California, and had a gentleman in my unit who was sort of from the post-Vietnam military, not part of the big Reagan buildup, and a bit of a petty criminal, to be perfectly honest about it. But he went over and did the six-month Sinai duty, peacekeeping operation in the Sinai Peninsula. And, man, it just changed him, you know, to be there on Mount Sinai, where many people believe that, you know, the book of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, you know, everything. And he came back a totally changed person, and a lot of it had to do with the experience of being on Mount Sinai, but also a chaplain that he met while he was over there that really introduced him to the Bible and to religion. Is that also a part of your job? Do people seek you out if they're looking maybe to get reconnected to their faith? Because I know it's not all. I mean, I know you serve in peacetime as well.
I do, and They do, and it's interesting because they come and they don't know, a lot of times they don't know they're seeking, and through conversation and through prayer, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I was seeking this, and wow, this is what I needed, and this is what needs to happen. I had one gentleman in Afghanistan, he came, he's like, you can't help me, chaplain. I'm like, well, okay, well, why don't we just sit and talk for a while? And by the end of the conversation, he's like, okay, I did need to talk. I did need to, we did need to pray. And I'm like, yeah, we did. And this was a couple hours later, but I'm like, yeah. He goes, I didn't think I needed you. And I'm like, you didn't need me. You needed God, and we're good. So
that is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. When you reflect back on, people sometimes find it hard to believe when I say that I have really great memories of the war. In 1991, it sounds kind of counterintuitive. I remember thinking when I got there, and especially when things got a little tight, I would always say to myself, there's got to be an easier way to make $946 a month. but you do. You sometimes you have very great memories of your time in the service. When you reflect back on your time in OIF 1 or 2 or in Afghanistan, is there a moment that you go back to and just think to yourself, I'm so grateful that I had an opportunity to be exactly at that moment in time helping this one person, or something that you reflect on when your mind invariably, as I know they do, kind of goes back to the war?
Yeah, I was one night, I was the chaplain because the head chaplain had gone to a conference out in a different country, and a bunch of the enemy came over the fence, and we were interior to the base, but they came over, and it was a lot of chaos. And it was just kind of craziness, and I stood in the middle of my hospital going, okay, this and this, and I called my boss and said, we're okay, but you should be here. And I was yelling at him, and then I stopped, and I looked at all my people, and I said, you know what? This is what I spent the last 14 years training for, this moment, this time. Let's get it done. And we got it done. Ministry happened. People were loved on and cared for. And when the chaos, ceased, it was like, wow, what an opportunity. It took 14 years of training, but it happened. 2 hours, and it was good. So
now, I know you're not I know they say a military chaplain's a non-combatant, but were you prepared to pick up a rifle if need be?
No, because I am not supposed to touch weapons at all.
Okay.
And
all right. I
for
didn't know
a couple
that.
Reasons. One, it's illegal. It's illegal for
oh,
me to
I didn't
touch
know
weapons.
That.
But two,
I did not know that.
Just the whole visual of me having a weapon is scary. My kids would be like, no, don't let her do that. But it is illegal for me to touch one. I have a story about that too, though. We were at the hospital, and a distraught airman came in, and they said, chaplain, go take care of her. So we went into a room, we closed the door, we started taking it. She was distraught, and I looked down, and on her hip was a loaded weapon. And I'm like, oh, you need to give that to me before we start. And she goes, ah. So I took it from her, and I opened the door a little bit, and I put the weapon, I took the handgun and put it out, just reached out with it, and I heard one of the nurses go, oh, swear word, the chaplain's got a gun, get it.
Well, I didn't know there was a legal impediment to that, but that is a great story. You would not have liked hanging around me during the war. It was weird. I carried kind of a rather obsolete rifle in those days. I carried the old M14 because I liked the big honking 7.62 caliber rounds, and I just loved the long rifle. I shoulder holstered a Beretta 9mm, and I guess I was paranoid because I had a 32 caliber revolver that I kept in my cargo pocket that I had brought from home. So I was always pretty strapped when I was in country. These are just great, great stories. It's days like this I regret that the show is only in a 30-minute format. What great memories you have. It is fascinating. Doctors heal the body. Chaplains are there to help heal the soul for moments which can be terribly, terribly traumatic during the war and long afterwards. As part of your ministry now in the Air Force Reserve, do you help at all with the gentlemen that are dealing with some of the PTSD issues?
I do, and it's interesting how that manifests itself. Sometimes it's very gentle, and it's very just need to talk about it. sometimes it manifests itself as just pure scary. We need to tuck you literally off a ledge, and we do all that. And but everything we do, and what with the chaplains, one of the benefits of coming to a chaplain is everything you tell us is completely confidential. And so I open the door, and I can't tell your wife, I can't tell your boss anything we talked about. So
like I said, the military chaplain has an amazing role in the American military, and you've been listening to someone who's kept that legacy going. Before we let you go, when you're not in uniform, when you're not doing your day job, when you're not corralling your dog, what kind of stuff do you enjoy doing for fun?
I love to travel. I still love to travel. I love to do crazy things like go to the Bollywood Festival here in Austin on the state capitol. I do love to read. So things like that.
Well, on behalf of everyone here at the show, my father was in the Air Force. My brother was in the Air Force. I was the only one who was not smart enough to join the Air Force, so I joined the Army. And very glad I did. I'm very glad for the opportunity. It's been our honor to have you on the show, Colonel Valenti. I want to wish you the very best in everything you do going forward. God bless the United States Air Force. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, and have a great Veterans Day.
I sure will. Thank you. Awesome job. Great. Man, how cool was that? Love doing our Veterans Day show. You've been listening to the Power Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? The name of the episode today, Veterans Day 2016. Next week, we'll get back to talking about all the stuff we normally talk about and the banking marketplace and all the things that might be changing from a regulatory standpoint based upon the outcome of the late election. I want to thank you so much for listening. You got to share this one with your friends. What a great interview. Like I said so many times, the American military chaplain is a fixture on the battlefield and has earned a tremendous reputation in every branch of the service and in every conflict we've had as Americans. Hey folks, until next we speak, my name is Jason Dias, and we'll talk to you all next week. Take care. Bye.
That's all, folks.